I'm thirsty today. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for the Holy Spirit? I hope you are. Praise the Lord. I'm so pleased with our church and our staff. Last week, we had a planned vacation to be gone, and we ended up leaving quite a bit earlier than we had planned on. My wife's mother got really, really ill, and we flew down to near Lake City, Florida. There was a bad storm. We couldn't fly to exactly where we wanted to go, but we flew near and took a rental car and got over to where we needed to be. And early in her life, she had an accident. Now they believe that some of the scar tissue, the lesions in her brain, is pressing on areas of her brain, and she's having a total lapse of memory. Sometimes didn't recognize Sharon, didn't recognize her son as who the big boy was in the room. She wasn't talking about me. She was talking about and all we can do is pray and believe God, and still to this day, she needs your prayers. She needs your prayers very much so. I meant to say something about it a few weeks ago, but I asked Teresa to make up this list, and I'm asking for starting off with 70 people to pray for me. And some of you have already signed it. But you know, as you start talking about the Holy Spirit and wanting the Holy Spirit and desiring the Holy Spirit, you know the enemy will attack. We got to go to, we were part of our counseling school, and we have a school called Heritage International Bible College and Seminary. And I had to go down to Nashville yesterday to be a part of their closing ceremonies. And State Representative Dan Howe was there, and I've known him for years, probably 30 years. He's a state representative now for the state of Tennessee, and he spoke. He was the commencement speaker, and he was talking about this bill that he brought to the floor, and it was about they had changed some things, and they were about to wipe out any kind of church counseling and the referral process, and they were setting up churches and counselors for a lot of lawsuits, similar to the situation where the people would not do the wedding cake. They had done wedding cakes, but they, you know, because of that situation and all that news, they were setting this up. So he presented a bill that nonprofit organization, faith-based organization, could still do counseling and do referrals. He said he never knew that he was going to be attacked the way he was attacked. And he used this verse of scripture in Ephesians about that we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. That the devil, he wants to come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he said what he uses most is the power of deception. And it just when he was speaking, I'm thinking, man, I need, you know, this is exactly what I'm saying. There, the need for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of Truth. But he said he was attacked while he was trying to present this bill they brought in. They spent over $1 million to come against this bill that he was presenting in the state of Tennessee, brought people from the ACLU in and some other people in. And he said it wasn't a Republican thing. It wasn't a Democrat thing. It was a demonic thing. It was a devil thing trying to stop him. He had death threats sent to his home. But he said on the last day, on the last hour, when they were fixing to present the bill, he said the most unlikely situation took place. And he said he had all kind of people praying for him. But he said, right at the last moment, a guy that he's a known Christian with the Church of Christ, he's also a Democrat. And this was actually a Republican presenting a bill. But at the last minute, this guy stood up and he said, I've never heard anybody just the flow roll off of him and the word of God and the scriptures and reason. And he said, this one guy in the last moment of the last hour before they took the vote changed everything. It was amazing. I was thinking about how God and how much in this hour we need the Holy Spirit. I want to talk today about what does the Spirit-led life look like? What does it look like? And The Bible says that we walk not in the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so I want to talk about that. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does that mean to walk in the Spirit of God? What does it look like? See, a lot of times when we talk about the Spirit, people think, well, that's weird or something. It's not weird. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. How many could use some truth? You want to know what is true. If the Holy Spirit inspired men to write this, who would be better to explain it to us than the Holy Spirit? As you're reading the Holy Spirit, as you're reading the Word of God, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit, reveal this to me. Some of you, I told you, and a lot of times I refer to this thing that God showed me about Romans 7 and Romans 8. And in college, I was reading the book of Romans, and I would read the entire book of Romans every night. I was doing night watchmen as a way of helping to pay for my college. And I'd read through the entire book of Romans every night, and I had a little diary there, and I would write stuff down. And I'm going to tell you, the stuff that the Holy Spirit gave me there's been an assurity with it that I would never find anything in the future. It doesn't matter if it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years from the time. There would never be a time that I would find that not to be true, because the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. I think so many times that there's so many great authors and there's so many great books out there, a lot of times we go to the books instead of going to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us. But, you know, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of any part of the Holy Spirit. Most of you, you know, if you're saved today, you were saved by being led by the Holy Spirit. So don't think you've never been led by the Spirit. We're not talking about that. It's the Holy Spirit that seals you to the day of redemption, till all the completed thing. He seals you. The Holy Spirit is to, he said, when the Holy Spirit's come, he will show you and teach you about Christ. Who doesn't want to be taught about Christ? That he is the Spirit of Christ. So if you want to know what the Holy Spirit is like, go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and look at the attitude, the nature, the spirit of Jesus Christ. That's the spirit that the Holy Spirit will be in you. He will be the Spirit of Christ in you. So we all need that. We need the Spirit of Christ in us. So we would pray, God, I want you to reveal to me, show me. I want you to be the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me. I told you a few weeks ago, when Jesus went down to be baptized by John, the Holy Spirit ascended on Jesus, likened unto a dove. And there's something there you need to look at. It said, and it remained there. It remained. The Holy Spirit remained with Jesus there on through. He was being led by the Spirit. One of the first places the Holy Spirit led him, though, is into the wilderness. How many has ever watched this show? I know, you know, you ever watched this show, Naked and Afraid? Now, just go ahead and fess up. You've watched it a few times, I know. I mean, they don't show anything. They kind of blur it. But on this Naked and Afraid, it amazes me when these people get out there and they have to rely on what's there. They don't have anything. They don't have no clothes on, have very little. And one of the first things they talk about is thirst. You've got to have water. You got to have water. You got to have water. If you don't have water, you're going to die. So if they got to go and find a mud hole and dip that water out and boil it, and it looks green or orange or brown, they still drink it because they can't survive without water. Isn't it amazing the Holy Spirit is, a lot of times the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit being like water, that water of God. The woman that come to Jesus at the well, and, you know, and she said, he said, would you like me to give you something to drink? She said, you ain't even got nothing to dip with. I've got a pail. You don't. And Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, I could give you rivers of living water. You're looking for a well, for a bucket. I'm talking about a reservoir of God's Spirit. I could give you a reservoir where you would never thirst again. One of the first things as you begin to ask God, God, I want to be led by your Spirit, he leads you first in thirsty places. In thirsty places and dry places. And you're led there and you become thirsty for God. Another thing he does, when God leads you, many times the first place he leads you is to hungry places. Jesus in the desert, he was fasting and praying for 40 days and he was hungry. And the devil came to him and offered him what he really wanted. He wanted bread. He said, you know, if you're really God, you could turn that rock into bread. And Jesus said, yeah, I really can. I could do that if I wanted to, but I'm not going to disobey God. So we see that as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, instantly there was the attack of the enemy. That's why I've asked you to pray for me. I believe this is going to be a Spirit-led church. And I know there's going to be attacks. And some of you are going to go to those thirsty places and those dry places, those hungry places. But you know what are you going to do? You're going to find that he fills you and he fills your thirst. And you will never thirst again because you'll be found the reservoir. You'll be found that place. He fills those and feeds those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. So he's talking about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is you're doing something. You're walking in the Spirit. You know, if Jesus is going to be my leader, he's got to be first. He can't be second or third. I can't be leading and expect to get where Jesus wants me to be. He's got to be, and the Holy Spirit knows where Jesus wants us to go better than we know. So if we're led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to get where Jesus wants us to go. We're going to have the mind of Jesus. We're going to have the Spirit of Jesus. We're going to have the walk of Jesus. We're going to have the talk of Jesus. We're going to have the anointing of Jesus. So we need to be led by the Spirit. Jesus told him, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem. And he said, stay there. Don't go do anything that I've told you to do. No ministry until you receive the fullness of your Holy Spirit. And so the week before last, I talked about when he said, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, be being filled. It's a continuous process. Keep being filled. Why do we need to keep being filled? Because you're a bunch of knucklehead and crackpots, just like me. We leak. We leak, right? I leak, you leak. You get all filled up here today and somebody, you know, kind of does you in at work and you've lost about half you've lost it all sometimes by Monday and you've got to try to, you know, you're trying to make it. And so we need to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Holy Spirit. If we walk in the Holy Spirit, we will get to our destiny. Walk in the Spirit. And he said, walk in the Holy Spirit and you shall not fulfill. I like that being full filled. Some of you know that I used to be over 300 pounds and I had this surgery that reduced the size of my stomach. And so I can almost never have any dessert because if I go and eat a little bit of salad and eat a little bit of whatever, then by the time the dessert comes around, I can't eat it. I want it, but I can't eat it. And my staff knows every once in a while when we go out to eat, I order dessert first. That's the only way I want to get it. Here's the thing. If you're full of God and you're full of his Holy Spirit, there's no room for these other desires of the flesh. There's no room for it. That's why he wants you to be filled and keep being filled. And when you're filled, he said that if you're full of the Holy Spirit, if you're full, if you walk in the Spirit, you're full of, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're already full. You don't want any of the things of the flesh. Now, sometimes the best way to understand a verse of Scripture is to learn what it does not say. What it does not say. He does not say, number one, that when you walk in the Spirit, you will not be tempted anymore. Some people think that, man, I'm going to get so holy. I'm going to get so righteous. I'm going to talk in spiritual tones. Everybody's going to think I'm so godly. and I'm never going to be tempted ever again. I'm above temptation. Anybody that thinks you're above temptation, you're fixing to be brought down by Satan. You're fixing to be brought down by Satan. He doesn't say that if you that you can get so close to God that you're not tempted. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure that had settled down, was upon him and remained upon him, and he was led in the wilderness, but he was still tempted. So as long as you've got breath in your lungs, you will be tempted. The only difference is when you're full of the Holy Spirit, the temptation doesn't go very far. It doesn't go very far because you're already full. It said that if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say you wouldn't be tempted. He just said you wouldn't go through with it. You ever get this thought in your mind, well, I would like to do that. And then the Holy Spirit goes, no, you wouldn't. It wouldn't be as satisfying as you think it is. And you go, well, maybe not. The temptation came, but you let the Holy Spirit talk to you, minister to you, and you go, no, I'm not going to do that. Once in a while, you do it. Every once in a while, I slip up and I sin. How many in here sin? Raise your hand. Look at all these sinners here. One time we didn't have a center aisle, but then we had a bunch of sinners. We had to put it back in. It's a sinner's aisle. People come down and pray. We all fall short of the glory of God. We sin. We come short of the glory of God. But the more we walk in the Spirit, the less we do that. So another thing that this verse does not say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It does not say that if you walk in the Spirit, you will be sinless. You can write that down. If you walk in the Spirit, does not mean you'll be sinless. Now let's slow that down. But if you walk in the Spirit, you will sin less. You'll sin less. If you walk in the Spirit, you will sin less, but you won't be sinless. But the more you walk in the Spirit, the more you listen to Him, the better you'll find yourself. And so, He said, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh if we get in the Spirit. One of the things that the enemy does, and you got to realize, just like Dan Howe said, State Representative Dan Howe said, you got to watch out for the wiles of the devil. Don't look out for what party they're of. Don't look out. Just look out. The devil can use good people sometime to try to trick you up. Jesus one time, he said, I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to die for the world. And Peter goes, no, you're not. I will defend you. I will die with you. You're not going. And Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was a good guy. But he was used as a mouthpiece to try to stand in the will of God for Jesus. Because he didn't like what was fixing to happen. And he said, get thee behind me. Say, he realized that Peter was one of his guys. He was one of the guys. He said, you're going to be the head of the church one day. You're going to be. But sometimes even there, Peter had, you know, Thomas doubted. Abraham lied. Moses killed somebody. If God didn't use flawed people, he wouldn't have any people to use, right? But by the Holy Spirit, we can sin less, but we can't. We won't be sinless this side. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. He said the Holy Spirit will reprove you of sin. The Holy Spirit would say, you need to repent. Repentance is not just for the day you get saved. Repentance is like for last Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It's for all those times that you didn't walk in the Spirit and you fulfilled the lust of the flesh and the Holy Spirit goes, you messed up. You need to repent of that. And you repent. And He receives you back. And so it's very, very important that we walk in the Spirit. And I'm fixing to get this next passage here, but another thing is in the Holy Spirit, in the Garden of Eden, Can you imagine if you could have imagined the garden, and if they would have been on everything in the garden, like blueberries, yes, collard greens, yes, grapes, yes, oranges, yes, whatever it was, they're just yes, 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 yes. You can have it all, yes, 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 yes. Just a bunch of yeses everywhere. And there was this one tree over here, and it said no. But look at all those yeses. No. But look at all those yeses. Take a two-year-old and you say no. What's he want to do? Don't touch that table. What makes that a two-year-old? Don't even know what they're doing. Do not do that again. That thing that gets our focus will eventually get us. Whatever we get our focus. You ever been on this diet? Like, you're on this diet, and you can have about everything on this diet. You know, like the low-carb diet, you can have so much stuff on this diet. You have all the meat you want. You can have all the bacon you want, but you can't have no bread. And so, like, when you go, like, man, I could have a hamburger, and I could have that hamburger, and I could have the cheese and the onions and the tomatoes. I can't have the bread. I can't have the bread. I just want the bread. I would give up the entire hamburger just to have the bread. It's our human nature. Our human nature. We want what we can't have. It's our greatest focus. It's our greatest attention. I heard this preacher one time said, when he was in school, he said he had this passion. See, we get these passions going the wrong way. He said, it was about seventh or eighth grade, he said he had a passion for this girl in his math class. But the only problem was she didn't have a passion for him. Some of you have been there. You're already laughing. And he said, you know how he got over that? He got a passion for a girl in the English class. And once he got that passion for that girl in that English class, he didn't even care that he didn't have that passion for that girl in that math class that didn't have a passion for him. That's not so far away, because as we follow the Spirit, as we get a passion for Christ, the other passions of this world begin to fade away. You know that old song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus"? There's a part in there that said, "In this world will grow dimly." How's it go, Shane? Vaguely dim? Strangely dim. That's what I've noticed about some people around here. The reason I know that they're saved, I didn't notice it the first day or the second day. I noticed a little bit, but down the road I noticed more. And I noticed now they don't curse as much. They don't do other things as much as they used to do. And they don't even act like they like to do it anymore. And, you know, they don't want to do those things anymore. The things of this world grow strangely dim. The Holy Spirit is the one actually doing that in our life. We may not recognize it, but the more that we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But our passions. Here's another thing that it does not say in this verse. It doesn't say, and a lot of times we have a tendency to want to read this verse backwards. We want to say, if you'll do away with the flesh, if you'll do away with the flesh, then you'll be filled with the Spirit. That's not what it said. Here's what Paul was already saved. And in Romans 7, I won't read the whole chapter. I could read those 39 eyes, personal eye. He had a real eye problem. It was him. But I'll read you a little bit of Romans 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Paul said, I'm unspiritual. Sold as a slave to sin, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. And what I hate to do, what I hate, I do. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin that liveth in me. Paul had this battle going on. He had a concept of God. He wanted to do good. he finally talks about all the things that, you know, every way in his life that he wanted to live, he wasn't living that way. And he comes down to the end here. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ the Lord. All right, who brings Jesus Christ the Lord to us? It's the Holy Spirit. Who reveals him to us? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings to us the Spirit of Christ. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature I'm a slave to the law of sin. So he uses 32 times, I'm a failure, I'm a loser, I can't make it in life. But in Romans 8, he said, therefore, there is now no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So those that walk after the Spirit will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He tells us later in the passage there. He said that, but sometimes we think, well, you know, if I could get really holy, and if I could quit doing this, and I could quit doing that, and all these I things I've got going on, and all these things that disappoint me, and disappoint my spouse, and disappoint my children, and disappoint me, all these things, if I could just get rid of them, I could be full of the Holy Spirit. That's absolutely false. If you could get rid of all these things without the Holy Spirit, you don't need the Holy Spirit. The reason you need the Holy Spirit, when you're this cracked, flawed vessel and you know you're not living right, that's when you need the Holy Spirit the most. You don't say, oh God, I know if I could just be holy, you'd fill me with the Holy Spirit. No, be filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit will make you holy. So Paul, he got it. He accepted. He died to himself. He said, I get up every day and I die daily, and I tell myself daily, it's not I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And he invited the Holy Spirit to help him walk in him every day. And then he said, now I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. I'm full of the Spirit. And every day I walk in the Spirit. A few times he messed up, right? He still messed up sometimes. He's not sinless, but he sins less. So that's the beauty of this verse right here, is the Holy Spirit has come to cause us and to help us become holy. The Holy Spirit has come to help us understand the Scripture. The Holy Spirit has come to do a whole numerous amount of things in our life. He is going to bring Jesus to us. He's going to explain Jesus to us. He's going to, and Jesus knew that we couldn't be like Jesus without the Holy Spirit. So this what I was talking about, the different baptism, this is the baptism where Jesus baptizes you into the Holy Spirit, because he knows you and I cannot become like him without the Holy Spirit. So the next thing he goes, now he gives out these gifts, and he said, now to each one, the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. This is very important, because you got to remember that Jesus Christ, we go, if Jesus could be here, and you know, the thing the disciples, well, we don't want you to go away. And Jesus said, but it's going to be better for you to go away. I go away, and they go, we don't believe you, really, because we think you need to be here. But he said, but you're the body of Christ, and I'm going to pour my Spirit in you, and the Spirit that's going to be in you is going to be me in you. Where two or three are gathered, I'm going to be in your midst. And so I'm going to be here. You're going to be my body. You're going to be my hands. You're going to be my feet. You're going to be my heart. You're going to be the love reaching out. You're the body of Christ. So see, he says, when he gives us these manifestations of the Spirit, they're given for your own personal greedy good. No. All the gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good of the whole body. Unless you have a heart for other people, the Holy Spirit, he will not gift you. Because he's not gifting you for you, he's gifting you for them. And he's gifting them for you, and he's making us interdependent upon him as the body of Christ. And so he said, the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. We don't get to pick them, like not going into the gift store. I'll take this gift and that gift and that gift. No, God gifts us in the body. So there's this passage about gifts. There's Ephesians 4. He gives apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. When the saints are equipped, they're supposed to be doing the work of ministry. That's why we want you to get in ministry. We want you to get in volunteer, because your ministry is an outflow of the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ in you. It is. It's an outflow of that ministry, and God's flowing in you. And so there's many, many gifts in the Bible. And He gives those gifts for the body of Christ. And if you're not concerned about the body of Christ, you'll never be gifted by God. You'll never be gifted. You'll never be anointed. His anointing, His giftedness is for the body of Christ. It's for the body. That's why He says when two or three of you get together, you can actually start operating as Jesus presently here on earth. One may have the message in tongues, one may have the interpretation. Words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. You're there with a friend and go, no, I don't think we should do that. I'm just really feeling in my spirit that's not right. I just don't feel like we should do that. So we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Do it cheerfully. In other words, these are ministry gifts that God has given to you for the body. We shouldn't have to beg you to do it. You should do it. You should want to do it. You know it's the outflow of what God has caused to flow into you. Some people don't have anything to give out because they never let anything in. They never let God fill them up. Calvin White used to say, "We got, how you doing, Calvin?" When he got up in age, he said, "I'm just overflowing." He said, "I'm sipping from my saucer because my cup's overflowed." And most of the time, it was absolutely the truth. He read his Bible every day. He meditated. He prayed every day. He prayed in the Spirit every day. Good man of God. And so you get around him any at all, and it would rub off on you because you were getting some of the overflow. It's wonderful. Here's the other passage. So Christ himself gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors. God knows what the church needs. Church needs to accept these different ministries. A lot of you, you're so kind and you go, well, you know, Sam did a good job, or Jeff did a good job, or Teresa did a good job, but we wish you were here. Well, sometimes I don't wish I was here. I'll just tell you. But you know, you need to accept these other people that God's given to the body. Because God's given them to the body. God's given teachers, God's given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastor teachers. They're all just as important to the body of Christ. I used to be that guy that nobody wanted to listen to me when the pastor was gone. I used to be that guy. Sometimes I wish I was that guy again. Here's the thing. We've talked about the Spirit. Some of you have, like, what you've been taught about the Spirit, you've kind of took a step back. I see you. You're right here in the congregation. I know who you are. I've got discerning of spirits. You know, you really don't have to have too much discerning of spirits when you think about it. The fruit of the Spirit, if you see somebody sad, you want to, you know, I kind of feel in my spirit you feel sad today. Yeah, showing right there on their face, they look sad. But you would not ever know that if all you're thinking about is you. Look how good I am today. So the whole concept of ministering in the body is you're responsive to the body. You're involved in the body. You're present in the body. You haven't checked out. You know, you are interactively a part of the body. And so you're around somebody, you go, you know, you don't act exactly the way you normally act. Is something wrong? Yeah, there is something wrong. People think you got some spiritual gift. It is a spiritual gift. It's a sensitivity. I'm going to tell you the one thing you're going to learn about the Holy Spirit is highly sensitive. The Holy Spirit is highly, you ever seen something like, you're just too sensitive. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's really too sensitive. The Holy Spirit, if you get to know the Holy Spirit, he's sensitive. Like, you shouldn't be watching that TV show. Well, I was just going to watch it to the commercial. Like this guy, he was on a trip, this movie came on, it was, he, you know, bought a movie and he thought it was going to be a good movie and got in, and it's all kind of pornography and everything. They said, well, did you cut it off? He said, no, I watched it to the end because I paid for it. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. I'm going to tell you something, and you that come from my persuasion of the faith growing up, you're not going to believe this, but the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gift of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gift of the Spirit. The fruit reveals the root. If you're rooted and grounded in Jesus' word, God's word, you're rooted and grounded in God's word, you're rooted and grounded in Jesus, you're being led by the Spirit, you will have the fruit of the Spirit. You'll have the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm going to tell you, if you go around life and you go around and you're not loving, you ever heard the statement, people don't care how much you know until they know how much, they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You go, well, I'm a mighty man of God. I got a word for you. And they go, yeah, you've never had the time of day for me, and I don't want to hear whatever your word is for me. If you want the gifts of the Spirit, you've got to get knee deep, elbow deep in people that are aggravating. And it seems like when the Holy Spirit first really gets to operating in your life, he's going to lead you to some of those aggravating people you ever met. And he will reveal to you if you have any of the fruit of the Spirit. And here's what it is. The world can tell what you're full of. The world can tell what you're full of. You're not fooling anybody. And so that's why the fruit of the Spirit is the pre-runner to the gifts of the Spirit. The root, if you're rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, then you'll have fruit. You go, I don't judge people, but I am a fruit inspector. I've never raised a lot of watermelons, but I've raised a few. You know how you can tell a good watermelon? You thump it, and it's got that boom, it got that sound to it. They say if you make a clay vessel, if you thump it, it's got a ring to it. It's kind of got a worship to it. But you know the only thing I don't like? The only way God can tell if we're genuine, he's got to thump us every once in a while. The fruit of the Spirit is love. People don't care anything about your giftedness. They don't care anything about your anointing. They don't care anything about anything you've got to say if you don't have love. Joy. If you're always down in the dumps and you got the mully grubs, joy, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy. And you can have joy in spite of your circumstances, as we've learned many times from Philippians. Peace, the Bible said, the God of all peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So you bruise Satan under your feet, even while he's trying to tempt you, every time he's trying to hurt you, destroy your family, you just keep stomping in the peace of God because, you know, I don't understand how it's going to come out, but it's going to come out all right because I'm in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus always comes out okay. But peace and patience. You go up to somebody and they're real frustrated. You go, you know, I got a word for you. God, the Holy Spirit just showed me you're having trouble with patience. You don't have to be that spiritual to know that. You just got to know the fruit of the Spirit. If you know the fruit of the Spirit, you know they don't have it. And sometimes you know when you don't have it. Even in counseling, this counseling school that we do around here, we need to really try to get it going again strongly. But the key thing was that they taught us in the main book is love the people, love the people, love the people. All beginning of counseling, all the beginning of ministry starts with love. It's love. If you love people, God will equip you to love people. If there's someone that's all confused and you love people, God will give you a discerning of spirit to help them discern the way they need to go. But we always want it for us. We want it for us. God says, first, I want you to get it for them. Get it for them. The more you learn how to use it for them, the more you'll understand how to use it for you. But it always starts with us. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. The Holy Spirit will teach you how to love yourself. A lot of people, their biggest problem in life is they don't love themselves. The Holy Spirit will teach you to love yourself. The Holy Spirit will teach you to love your neighbor. The Holy Spirit will teach you to love your enemies. The Holy Spirit will help you love those that despitefully use you. Because the Holy Spirit will cause the fruit from the root to the fruit. He will cause the love of Jesus. You'll say, well, this love, I can't have that. You're right, you can't. But if you're rooted in Jesus Christ, eventually over a period of growth and time and in the right season, you will have a love that passes all understanding. You go, I don't even know how I understand. There's people that's hurt me deeply, even in ministry. And now, you know, forgiveness came and I love them. We don't see eye to eye, but I love them. I thank God for my heritage. That had to come from the root, and it didn't come overnight. It took years in some cases. But then eventually love and restoring people and you know, restitution. All of that comes from being rooted in Jesus Christ. Then eventually from the Spirit comes love. You love people that are basically unlovable, that despitefully bother you, hate you. Your test of whether you're ready to be used in the gifts or whether you are doing this. If God can use you to love the unlovable, then he can use you to speak into their lives. And if you can be joyful in unjoyful situations, if you can be peaceful in unpeaceful times, if you can be patient. The only, you know, they said don't pray for patience because the Bible said the way you get patience is through tribulation. I don't want no tribulations, but you want to learn patience. So that means, yeah, you're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through unpeaceful times. You're going to go through unloving times. You're going to go through sad times. He wants you to be joyful anyway. He wants you to be loving anyway. He wants you to be full of peace anyway. He wants you to be kind anyway. And I told you, as I kind of reconnected and preaching these sermons about the Holy Spirit, what the first thing the Holy Spirit started doing in me, usually my wife does it. You shouldn't have talked to that person that way. Well, sometimes she's not with me. And the Holy Spirit goes, you shouldn't have said that. What was the first thing the Holy Spirit come after me with? The fruit of the Spirit. You're not acting right. You're not talking right. That's not the way a Christian talks. That's not the way a Christian walks. That's not right. That's what the Holy Spirit does every time. He starts with you. When you'll listen to him about you, then he will give you some stuff to help others. Boy, you was thinking I was going to have a Holy Ghost line and lay hands on you and you was going to speak in tongues and everything was going to be wonderful just like that. That might happen to some of you. You may speak in tongues. You may have a prayer language or a heavenly language, but none of that's going to be any good if you don't get this. Sometimes I fall. But I get up again, and I get up again, and I get up again. Gentleness and self-control. We can't have self-control without the Lord. And so here's what Paul says. Between talking about the gifts You got 1 Corinthians 12, and then you got 13, and then you got 14, all those talking about all of this stuff. And Paul gets right in the middle of the middle of it, the middle of the middle of it, the heart of it, the center of it, and he goes, though I speak in tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. I'm nothing. Kind of get that. I started off, it's all or nothing. With Christ, you can do all things. Without him, you can do nothing. It's all or nothing. You're gonna get rooted in Christ, and you're gonna let Christ grow up in you, and you're gonna have the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is gonna cause you to want to be otherly minded, and then God's gonna use you in the gifts of Spirit mightily. Some of you will be used mightily of God. A lot of times it'll be an after fact, like, oh my God, somebody said I was used in the Spirit. I didn't even know it at the time. Yeah, that's because it's not about you. You're ministering to them. And they go, you know, last week when you talked to me and you prayed for me, that was exactly what I needed at that time. And I don't know how you knew that. You go, I don't know how I knew it. I didn't even know I was doing it. But if I did it, I did it by the Holy Spirit. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. Some of the most amazing things people said, do you realize what you told me that night, that day? And I go, no, I don't. I didn't know it. God knew it. How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to wrap this up. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. God seeks those that seek him. God seeks those who seek him. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Another thing, John 7:37-39, if anyone thirst, and he'll help get you thirsty. Some of you are really thirsty for God, and you go, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just so thirsty. I'm miserable in my Christian life. You're miserable because God's making you miserable where you'll seek him, because you haven't sought him in a long time. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. God is looking for people who are looking for God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, the eyes of the Lord searches the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Romans 8:29 said, from the very beginning, God decided that he would come to them. He would come to them. Like I told you in the very beginning, in Genesis, what did he do? If you would have saw God making Adam, they said, what are you making? I'm making the temple. I'm making a temple. We're the temple of God. The tabernacle in the Old Testament, that was just a symbol. The temple in the Old Testament is a symbol. God made you the temple. God's original dream was for his Holy Spirit to be in you. You would be the holy place. You would be the temple of God. You'd be the temple of God. God wants to use every one of you. He wants to use every one of us in this church to do great and mighty things. I love the Living Bible says of this. Galatians 5:16 says, I advise you to obey only the Holy Spirit instructions. He will tell you where to go and what to do, and then you won't always be doing the wrong things your evil nature wants you to do. Pretty simple there, isn't it? If you'll open up to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you where to go and what to do, and it'll be like that guidance system on your car. I rented a car while I was gone, and if I like going down the road now, if I didn't turn on the turn signal and I pulled over like that, it was like, no, don't do that. If I turned the turn signal on and And then it looked and viewed, and then it let me turn over there. But it had these control systems on it. And it'd be going, if I was getting too close, if I was going 80 miles an hour, eight car lengths ahead of me, it would slow me down even though I had cruise control on. I said, this is amazing. It's like the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to slow you down. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to kick you in the rear end, speed you up. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to, you're going the wrong way. Quit fighting against me. Get back over here. The Holy Spirit. I want to play this song in closing today. And I want, I want you to watch this song. And this is going to be our prayer time. I'll come down if you want personal prayer. But I want you to watch this song. I've asked some of the worship team to help us sing it. Did you take your mics with you? Well, you just come up here and get your mics in and help me. We're going to close with this because this song goes, if there's anything, God, if you can use anything, then use me, Lord. I promise you, God can use anything, and He can use you. Don't wait until you get perfect. Don't wait until you get holy, because you'll never get there without the Holy Spirit. Don't question His leading. Don't question His guidance. Just obey the Holy Spirit and see what He does in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You today. You're going to use this congregation. You're going to use this staff. You're going to use this ministry. God, we're going to pray down. We're getting thirsty and we're getting hungry. And You've led us to that thirst. And you've led us to that hunger. And God, You don't lead us to thirsty places and hungry places and dry places unless You're going to fill us. God, I expect a filling. I expect You to fill this congregation. And God, let them know in their heart they're usable to God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. They're going to play another song. Sing along with this song. I like for our prayer people to come up. This is an old one here. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Worship team.
Lord, you can use
if you want to help me, you can come up here and sing if you want to. I don't care.
My prayer tonight. Our prayer tonight, Lord, is that You use us. Use us for Your glory. We are instruments.
This is going to be our closing meditation or prayer today. Sing along with this song and we'll close out about halfway through. If you want prayer, come.
If you can use anything, Lord, You can use me.
Would you be willing to pray that as a prayer or sing that as a prayer?
If you can use anything, Lord, You can use me.